listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
One of the things that I look for is to see how people search for things on my website. The reason is because sometimes that lets me know where people are and what people are struggling with, and it gives me an idea of how to kind of frame the podcast and frame my information so that I'm meeting the needs of people who are searching. What I've noticed is that there is one recurring question that keeps getting put into my search bar, and that question is this: can I convince my spouse to stay? Or how can I convince my spouse to stay? In other words, people are trying to figure out if there is a way, and if so, how to convince a spouse, how to use lots of logic and explanations and arguments to get the spouse to stay. There are two words that I just said that are very important for us to think about and pretty much avoid. One is convince, and the other is to get. So if you're looking for the quick answer of can you convince your spouse to stay, the answer is no, at least not directly. So if that's all you wanted, if that was what you were looking for, is the kind of the short answer, the answer is no, at least not directly. But if you want to know why you can't and what you might do instead, keep on listening, because part of this question tells me how desperate people are to save their relationship. They're trying to figure out what they can do to possibly do that. And because they're working so hard, I want to make sure that we answer that question, that we look at it thoroughly and decide what can happen in order to work on your relationship. Here's the truth. There are some relationships that cannot be saved no matter what you do, no matter what I say, no matter what I teach, and no matter how you apply it. It's just the nature of the fact that a spouse, in today's culture, can simply say, I'm done, I'm finished, and leave without any chance to reconcile. Now, there are also many relationships that can be saved. And the question is whether yours falls in the first category or the second category. Can it be saved or not? And the question of that is only solved by trying to save the relationship. The problem is there are some things you might do that could get in the way of you saving your relationship. And one is trying to convince a spouse, trying to get a spouse to do something. You may have noticed at this point that it hasn't worked so far, and it's not likely to work. Here's the reasons. In your mind, you've been thinking about this. Probably you got hit with a ton of bricks about the fact that there was even a marriage crisis that you needed to worry about. And so then you're scrambling to try to figure out what to do, and you've probably spent hours, if not days, weeks, or even months, trying to figure out how to respond, trying to figure out how to get your spouse's attention. That's a lot of mental energy that goes into that. And as that energy begins to grow, it begins to become more and more desperate. The desperation may not happen in weeks or months. It may happen in days or hours, where the more desperate you become, the more you start chasing, the more you start pulling, and the more you start coming up with the multiple reasons in your mind why your spouse should stay. So here's the problem. You're coming up with all the reasons why you should stay, your spouse should stay and work on the relationship, at the same moment that your spouse is coming up with all the reasons why your spouse should leave. So let's be very clear. I have met very, very few spouses who took any joy in the fact that they were deciding to leave a relationship, even if they had been cheating on that relationship, and even if there had been abuse in the relationship, even then, very few people take joy in leaving a relationship. They may take some relief. They may decide that this is the best action. They may even look like they have some joy because they're feeling some relief from their own internal pain. But I haven't seen people who actually are wanting to leave. And so part of what they do as they are thinking about that is they begin to reinforce the reasons why they must leave. They begin to reinforce the reasons that they cannot stay in the relationship. And as they reinforce those reasons, they're looking for more and more evidence. And here's where the trap is set. They set up for more and more evidence, and you fall right in it as you try to force or convince or argue or cajole or manipulate. Somehow you're trying to make the other person do something, and all that does is reinforce their belief. So there you are, coming up with all the reasons why the relationship should stay. They're coming up with all the reasons why the relationship should end, and that's like a train wreck, ready to hit and pulling at each other. And so the battle is really about perspective. You see, most of the time when I talk to somebody who wants to save their relationship, it's not as if they think that the relationship they're in is the best of relationships, that it's the healthiest of relationships, but they see a reason to save it, while the spouse is seeing the reasons to end it. A lot of that has to do with wanting to be true to a commitment, with wanting to be true to what I consider to be the North Star of any relationship, and that is the commitment to work through things, to find a way through things. Or maybe you come at it because you came out of a broken family. You know the consequences of that. You're tired of seeing this in culture. You're tired of the easy, disposable way we go around our culture. And so you believe that something can be done about it. But the problem is that puts you in an opponent way with your spouse. You become versus. It's you versus your spouse and who's going to win in their perspective. And this leads to a powerful tug of war, which is what happens when you start to pull. If I throw a rope, and I've done this in many conferences, I'll throw a rope to somebody and they'll grab it and I'll start kind of pulling a little bit. And guess what they do? Immediately, they pull back because that's human nature. They don't follow my lead. You know, it could be that I'm trying to lead them to safety and I'm just tossing them a rope to lead them to safety. But that's not what happens when I just, without any explanation, toss a rope out. The person grabs it, and always they pull against it. Years ago, I was at a conference, and they had us turn to the person that was in front of us or behind us. And they told us to put our arms on the table, elbows on the table, and grab hands, opposite, so the same hands, right hand to right hand, elbows on the table. And they said, your task is to touch your opponent's hand to the desk as many times as possible. Go. And so they gave us 30 seconds. And I was teamed up with this very nice older woman that I was basically going to afraid that if I was going to wrestle with her, arm wrestle with her, I was going to break her arm. And so I was very carefully not allowing her to put my arm down, but slowly putting her arm down. Some people were really just stuck in a struggle, and they were so evenly distributed that they didn't win once. What was interesting was there were only two groups in the whole place that I could watch them. They were going back and forth, slamming each other's hands down as fast as they could, alternating. One, two, three, four, back and forth. One, two, three, four, five, six. Everybody else was stuck in a struggle. This is in a room of over 100 people and only two groups. Only four people. They stopped us and they said, what was the task of this? And we all began to think about the task. The task was simply to touch your opponent's hand to the table as many times as possible. It was not to argue. It was not to be in a wrestling match. It was not to arm wrestle for 30 seconds. It was to cooperate. The problem is human nature is not about cooperation in those moments. It's about the struggle. And when we get locked in that struggle, we're never going to convince because convincing is about overcoming. It really is from the Latin word vincere, which means to conquer. And so when you're trying to convince somebody, you're trying to conquer their perspective, their opinion, their beliefs. You're trying to pull them onto your side of the beliefs by conquering them. That's the word behind this. And that's the problem when we're trying to convince somebody. We get stuck in that wrestling match and we get stuck into a place where we're not going to win because the other person is naturally going to resist. There's a term, psychological reactance. Psychological reactance is the fact that even if you agree with somebody, if it feels like they're forcing their opinion upon you, you will try to struggle against it. That's what happens, you know, when you say to a child, hey, let's go do this, and they go, I don't want to do it now, and just 5 minutes before they wanted to, but now it's your idea, now it's you wanting to push it, and suddenly they're resisting. We as adults do the same thing, that even if somebody says something that would benefit us and we agree with, You have to go up to someone and say, hey, you know what? I really think you're right. We should eat that way. And they'll suddenly start arguing the reverse point. Psychological reactants can get in your way in this process repeatedly simply because you're seen as coming from a convincing place. So that raises the question, if you can't convince, is there anything you can do? Well, you probably guessed, since I wrote several books and have created the Save the Marriage System, I absolutely believe there's something else you can do. That's why we're here. That's what we're listening for, is how to move forward with this. So yes, your reasons for staying are probably very valid. Your reasons for wanting to stay in the relationship are probably very valid. There may be some that come from a place of fear that maybe is a little bit irrational, but for the most part, you probably have some pretty good reasons. And I named those reasons earlier. Maybe you decided that you want to be true to commitment. Or maybe you've decided that you want to be countercultural of this disposable world and set something up for life. Maybe you want to show your kids an example for a change of how you can work through struggles and come out better on the other side. But there are those reasons that are true and valid. Here's the problem. Your spouse's reasons for leaving are likely just as true and valid, at least to some degree. They may say, you know, we don't love each other, right? So why should we stay? Well, that's a valid point. Not the why should we stay, but the fact that you may not have loving feelings towards each other. You may not have expressed passion for years. You may have very little connection. You may not even be particularly respectful of each other. All of those are valid reasons of why the relationship is in trouble and in need of change. But your reasons for staying are equally valid. You both have reasons based in your perspective. So how do we move beyond this? Well, you can't overcome somebody's belief system. You can't force through it. You can't make them change perspective, but you can invite them into something different. There's a term, force analysis, from sociology. Kurt Lewin created this years ago, and he said, if you're trying to make a change in something, a change in a system, and your marriage is a system, if you're trying to make a change in it, you have two forces, one for change and the other against change. One for making things better, the other against making anything different. And that's where you get stuck. Whenever you walk into some organization that's stuck, it's because the forces against and the forces for have evened out and they can't make a shift. This is true in life too. The reason you're where you are is because the forces for change and the forces against change have come to an equalization. They're stuck. What Kurt Lewin says in his force analysis is that you cannot overcome the resistance with more force. You can't overcome the resistance by forcing through on the other side, but you can begin to work against the other side's reasons. You can begin to pull them away. You remove the resistance. You don't force over the resistance, and that's the problem. Trying to convince somebody is trying to force over their resistance. It doesn't work. It creates more resistance. That's the whole point of the force analysis. Whenever you push harder, you create further resistance and you stay stuck right where you are, if not into a downward spiral. So what can you do? Let me suggest five things. Number one, connecting. Connecting is the lifeblood of any relationship. If you haven't been connected, that doesn't mean you can't be connected. It just means in the past you haven't found the way to do that. And so part of your task is to figure out how to connect with your spouse on all three levels of connection, a physical, emotional, and spiritual connection, of how to move through those different ways of feeling connected with each other. So the first thing you can do is to work on building the connection. It's kind of the whole platform that I create in the Save the Marriage System and in my book, How to Save Your Marriage, in three simple steps. Those three simple steps, the first one is connecting, because it's so important. It's the lifeblood. It's how we're wired. So we need that connection or we can't stay together. The second one is understanding. Understand the painful place your spouse is in. Don't wait for them to understand you. Seek to understand that when your spouse says things aren't working, that's a serious place to be. That's a painful place to be. And so be understanding that this is a difficult thing. Sometimes we treat that person as the bad guy. Instead of seeing that that person is in pain, trying to find a better way through this, you and I might not agree that the best way through it is by ending it. But we can come from a place of understanding how desperate that can feel to the other person. The third thing to do is changing. If you can look and say, you know what, my spouse is right. There are some legitimate reasons why we're in a bad place. Changing is a great way of moving forward, of being able to step back and say, where are the places that I need to be working on self-improvement? When I need to grow, I need to change some more. How can I move into being a better person? So we can work on changing. Number four is accepting your spouse. One of the things I hear over and over from a spouse is the feeling that their spouse has never truly accepted them, never truly accepted them for who they are and for what they are in the world, but always wanting them to be something different. And so finally, at some point, many people say, you know what? I'm tired of that. I just want to feel accepted. And so working on accepting a spouse can make a huge difference in the willingness to work things through. And number five is loving. Now, I don't mean to suddenly feel passion for your spouse. Loving, if you want to love somebody, that's a verb. It's an action word. I love somebody, not because I have gushy feelings, but because I choose to act lovingly towards them. And so to step back and ask the question, how can I show more love to my spouse? How can I show more than I've been doing to my spouse? How can I show my spouse that I truly do care, that I truly do want the best for my spouse, for me, and for us, for the family? How can I be loving towards the other person, respectful for that other person? So those are the five pieces that I would recommend you do instead of convincing, connecting, understanding, changing, accepting, and loving. If you need help with that, I'm inviting you to grab my Save the Marriage system. This program has been used by people all over the world, no matter how bad the situation. And even if it's only one person, even if it's only you that wants to save this relationship, just don't fall into the trap of working to convince. Instead, let's go with a system that's been proven over and over and over to make a difference in the lives and in the marriages. While you're getting that system, part of what I offer is a free week of the VIP virtual coaching program. I only offer that free week when you're buying the system. There's no other time when you can get that free week because I want you to take advantage of that first opportunity of jumping in and really getting some training and some help and some hope in how you can move forward. And additionally, right now, while we have the space, my coaches will also give you a 20-minute getting started session. That session has no obligation to it. It's a confidential session where you have a chance to make sure that you're getting started well with the program, to make sure that we've got you plugged in the right place. So what you need to do now, if you don't have it already, is to go grab the system. You can find it at savethemarriage.com, savethemarriage.com. You can grab it quickly there. If you want to just jump in front of the line, go to savethemarriage.com/grab, G-R-A-B, and you can grab the system and get going with that. Remember, the free week of the VIP virtual coaching program, and to claim your session with one of my coaches, we guarantee it, if you are in the U.S., we try to get everybody else around the world, but we only guarantee it for sure for people in the U.S. because of time zone issues and because of availability of my coaches. So take advantage of that. Make sure you do what you can. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.